What? I can't believe I'm hearing this. Wait a minute, let me rewind.
Welcome to Wise Words, a podcast of interviews, best practices and insights for entrepreneurship, finance, and technology, brought to you by the IBD Network, home of the Under the Radar Conferences and Dealmaker Forum. For the best of Silicon Valley, go to www.ibdnetwork.com.
Look at me. Look at me. Now listen very closely.
That doesn't look like the next generation of computing to me. It's old technology.
Welcome to Wise Words, a weekly podcast of interviews on entrepreneurship, finance, and technology. I'm your host, Sean Wise.
Blah, blah, blah.
Silence. Who chatters, but the wise man that isn't.
Welcome back to Wise Words, brought to you by the IBD Network. For the best of Silicon Valley, www.ibdnetwork. As always, Wise Words strives to provide you with interviews and best practices on technology, finance, and startups. Today we're delighted to have none other than the director of eBay's developer program, Mr. Greg Isaacs. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Sean, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for coming out. Now, we met probably going on 2 months ago at a Dealmaker forum, which was really talking about Web 2.0 and where it's going, and I really thought you brought a lot of best practices and direct feedback to the audience, and I hope you'll be able to do that today.
Well, good. Yeah, I loved being on that panel. It was, my panelists were also great, and it was great to hear from them. The audience was pretty energized, which is always fun to be around folks like that.
Well, we really enjoyed having you. Let's talk a little bit about you first and your role at eBay. I mean, our topic today is building a community, or how do you get other people to do your work for you when it comes to developers. But before we get to that, let's chat a little bit about how eBay got you to work for them. Can you tell us the story of how a graduate of the London School of Economics ends up working for one of the leading technology companies in the world?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because after I went to the London School of Economics for my junior year abroad and then Brandeis, I went into investment banking. I was pretty enamored with, as you can imagine, in the basically the mid to late 90s, all the things that were happening on Wall Street. It was just before the tech boom, and banking was a great way, especially technology banking and telecom banking, to really get to work with some pretty innovative companies. And at a young age, you know, 21 years old, get exposure to executives. So it was a great job and a great opportunity. I did that for a number of years in New York and in San Francisco. Went back to get my MBA at UCLA, and then went back into banking for a little while. And then I realized I'd done so many IPOs and so many M&A deals and debt financings that I had no clue about how companies actually worked and how they were supposed to be run. I knew which ones failed and which ones did well, but I didn't know really why. And what I like to do is try and follow smart people where I can. So a former investment banking colleague of mine was at eBay, and he said, why don't you come over here and do something completely different? And basically I came over to eBay to work in our operations group to help run our procurement operations as well as our capacity planning and essentially a data center planning team. So something completely different from what I did in investment banker. I can remember my first day on the job. I was actually putting IBM boxes into rack space in a data center, which is very different than doing modeling as an investment banker. But it was just really the first step in hopefully what has been a very long and good education for me to actually understand about the, you know, how to actually run a company.
So what was it like to be at eBay in the early days? Was it as big as it is now, or was it still in the growth phase? I imagine you're talking late 90s.
Yeah, I joined in 2001. We had about 2,000 people at that time, and I think now we're over 10,000 people. So the company has grown dramatically. We've obviously focused on best practices, processes, making sure that we're a world-class company from a stability standpoint from our platform. And so you've seen a lot of changes in that way. Certainly with a large number of people, the company has gotten bigger, and you know, it becomes more challenging to communicate, but I think we've done a pretty good job at it, at least internally.
Now, you've grown in your role as much as the company has grown. Can you talk to us a little bit about the current role?
Sure. So I'm the director of developers program at eBay. When I joined eBay, I was a manager. Then I got promoted to senior manager, then director. So my job is to, number one, is to be an advocate for our developer community. We're very fortunate to have some of the smartest people in the world building products and services on top of the eBay platform using our APIs. And really, my job is to, again, go out externally to make sure that these companies are well-known. So that's why I take the opportunity to talk to great guys like yourself to help get the word out in terms of what we're doing and to let people know that you can actually make a nice living supporting the eBay ecosystem of users. I also spend a lot of time internally talking to not only our executives, but really every level of the organization about how our developers can help bring innovation and experimentation into eBay. And, you know, that's, for me, is very exciting because not only do I get to do it externally with the media, with the venture capital community, but I also get to talk about it internally quite a bit. And then on top of that, there's also the part of running the business, my team, which involves strategy, product management, product development, and I get to work with a very talented team of about 50 or 60 people every day to help make that happen. So it's really a great job, and one of the things that, if I think about my career, I didn't really have a game plan to this is what I wanted to do when I was thinking back 4 or 5 years ago. I just followed smart people and really followed the passions that I have and wound up with a pretty cool job, one that honestly I couldn't have expected to have again a couple of years ago.
Well, let's stick with the passion and the passion for development. Can you tell me a little bit about the culture of the developer program or what it is you're most trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I think for us it's all about doing things differently and not doing status quo and pushing the envelope. And, you know, innovation isn't always very clean. It's frankly sometimes going to be messy. So my team, the team that I've hired and the team that works with me are very forward-thinking, they're very outward-thinking. They spend a lot of time looking at new technologies, new business models, coming up with ideas that sometimes, you know, we may think is crazy in retrospect. But it forces the company, eBay, just to think outside of the box. And again, by working and listening to not only my team internally, but also to our external developer community, you know, we think we've been able to be pretty successful. There's always a lot more we can be doing, a lot of things we always want to do. You can never innovate enough. You know, that's really my team's mantra. But, you know, I think we've been very happy in terms of the innovation that we brought to the community and just really some amazing products that our developers have created.
A lot of companies have looked to developers in one of two lights, as a cost-saving or outsource methodology. And some look at it, as you've just described, as a way to get innovative. People who are outside of the current culture, this current thinking, are more likely to break the box and rebuild it in a different way. Are those the main things that drive you, or are there other goals that you're trying to achieve when you build a developer community?
So I would say that for developer community, number one, it has to solve a problem. And, you know, eBay is a large corporation, and we're very metrics-driven. And so any initiative, and the developers program is no exception, it has to drive value and solve a problem. And that problem could be perhaps there's something that eBay just doesn't have the time to get to, so we can work with a developer. There's maybe a developer that could do it more quickly, or maybe a developer that can do it better than we can. And so as long as that developer is adding value in some of those different items that I've described, then I think they will be successful at eBay and certainly gain our interest. So I hesitate to put it in one box, you know, cost saving versus innovation. I think at the end of the day, it's a broad spectrum of things, and depending on who the audience is internally, you know, ideally, hopefully, they work with that developer, and that developer solves a critical problem for that individual.
Now, let's look at it from the developer's perspective. What are they really gaining out of innovating for you?
So first and foremost, and you know, we've been very vocal about this, we want our developers to make money. If they make money and they're successful, then that means they can reinvest it back in their business. So if you think about in November of last year, we used to charge for our APIs and we made them free because we wanted to remove any barriers in front of our developers, and some of them could have been economic, and we wanted them to take that money and either reinvest it back in their business or give it back to the ultimate end users who are eBay customers. So at the end of the day, you know, for us, it's very important to remove the barriers that are in front of developers and to, you know, make them successful.
let's talk about a few successes. Can you maybe, I mean, I'm currently recording this using Skylook, which is, of course, an extension and an add-on for Skype, which is a friend of eBay's, we'll just say, a related entity. What are some of the successes that you've seen in the number of years that you've been captain of the developer ship?
Yeah, so it's been really interesting. I'd say historically, the developers have built applications to support our sellers. And so, you know, we have, again, a large number of sellers that make their living on eBay, and they use these third-party applications, the software, to help them run their businesses. So think of it as the SAP, the Salesforce, the Microsoft, but really for small to medium-sized sellers on eBay. And just to give you a sense, about 25% of eBay.com listings now come through sellers that use these third-party applications. So a quarter of our listing volume in the U.S. come through these products. So that's just one example of the tremendous success that our developer community has had. And they charge their sellers, their customers, in a number of ways. They can charge them essentially a percent of the transaction. They can charge them a flat fee. And because we removed the fees for the API, we've now given our developers flexibility to even not charge and make it up through advertising. So that's historically been very successful for us. But one of the things that we did over the last couple of years is focusing on more buyer-side applications, so applications that allow you to search for eBay items from other websites and bid on those items from a mobile phone, from a television set, for example. And these applications are very compelling because, again, they drive users to eBay. And the nice thing is that we share that revenue with those companies as part of our affiliate program, frankly, sometimes up to 70% of our revenue. So it's a great way for a company to make money and be successful. Now, of course, there should be beyond just making money. Some developers want to do it because they want to improve their skill sets. They want to add something to their technical acumen. Some folks just want to do it because they like to code and just want to have fun. And so, you know, we should try and play in all those ends of the spectrum, not only allowing developers to make money, but also allowing them to satisfy passion that they may have.
Now, I know you just came off your annual Fabulous Developers Conference, so I want to ask you a few metrics questions, and I hope I'm not putting you on the spot. Can you tell me how many developers you think you have at the moment and how many, say, apps they've developed over the last few years? Do you have any stats around that?
Sure. We have 30,000 developers. That was actually as of Q2, and that was up actually 100% year over year. And we had about roughly 2,500 applications live to site at, that was at the end, at the end of Q1, I should say, for both of those numbers. And we'll be releasing Q2 numbers in a few days.
Excellent. I'm sure people will keep an eye open to it. What do you think that the critical factors have been that have driven such large growth? I mean, 100% year over year is no small achievement. You should be applauded. But what do you think is really driving that? Is it just because eBay is such a powerhouse? Is it because of the development program? What are the key things that when you want to set your goals for next year to drive another 100% growth possibly, what is it that you think most about?
I think it's two things. Number one, as I mentioned, the economic opportunity. So I won't spend a lot of time on that again. But it is something that's pretty enticing for folks for hopefully a bit amount of money in terms of just, you know, their coding time can build a nice little business or even a successful and large business. The other, I think, is just the general trend on the Internet. You know, we've had APIs since 2000, and so that's 6 years now, and you're seeing a lot more companies, and I'll put them in what they call the Web 2.0 bucket, are now coming out with their own APIs. So it allows developers to take these free APIs, which are essentially software components, couple that with the open source movement. The cost of developing is very inexpensive. And of course, you add in the largest or one of the largest web services platforms in the world, eBay, and you know, we're going to be a beneficiary of that as well. And so we've driven a lot of that, but also we're excited to see other companies embrace what we've been doing to build, you know, mashups not only for personal use, but also for enterprise use as well, like one developer recently did for eBay and for Salesforce as part of their AppExchange platform. So, you know, I think we've been the beneficiary of not only driving it, but also of a broader trend in the industry.
Well, and you're absolutely a company that uses end-user content to their own benefit. You did mention open-source code, and I want to talk a little bit about intellectual property. I know that you're very proud. A few days ago, you were granted your first patent. So how does IP play in the development community that is eBay?
Well, for us, we actually take a very hands-off approach. Our developers, they have access to our APIs. We enable them to build the products they want to build. And then it's up to them really to figure out what patent protection they need, if anything. And for us, it's been a philosophy that we don't believe we should tell our developers what to do. We believe they are experts and they help drive innovation. And we want them to do that and just essentially give them the building blocks and the frameworks and get out of the way. So all I can say to those companies is obviously IP is particularly important. And they should make sure they understand all the issues involved and, if necessary, hire professionals to help them manage that.
Absolutely, some wise words. Before we leave this section on best practices from eBay and talk more generally about development community growth, let's wrap up with maybe you can give us a couple of your favorite picks for apps that have recently come out. I know that the Yahoo Messenger plugin was big. Obviously, Film Loop is something that I'm personally interested in. Are those some of the top things you've seen, or are there other things you want to shine a spotlight on for just a moment?
Yeah, there's actually two that I mean, they're wonderful applications on the cell side that have come out, and they're just amazing. But I think there's two general areas. One is around wireless. So there's a developer called Unwired Buyer that's built an application that just does one thing very well, but it does it very well. And it's it'll notify you when there's 3 minutes left in your auction. It will call you up, and then you can bid over the phone listening to an IVR. I'm actually watching an item right now that I'm bidding on. I'm having a baby soon, so I want to buy a video camera, and I'm bidding on it on eBay. And I don't want to have to sit in front of my computer bidding on the item, and I want to wait until I'm ready to bid. Unwired Buyer is just the perfect application for me. And so not only have they built something that's very cool, but another developer by the name of Dianetic out of Germany has actually helped powering our SMS or text messaging capability through wireless as well. It's something we launched a few weeks ago, and our wireless team has done a fabulous job with this as well. And it'll notify you via text message that you've been outbid and also allow you to rebid via text message as well. So whether you like to be notified via voice or via text message, we think it's important to connect with our community, again, if they're on a PC or if they're on a wireless device, for example. So that's the first one. The second one was really a company by the name of Empire, MPIRE.com, and they continue to build just really compelling, interesting applications, not only on the sell side, but on the buy side as well. So, for example, the Barry Bonds 715 baseball is going to be auctioned off on eBay. And Empire built just a really cool landing page that allows you to search for other Barry Bond items. But they also built a cool little video that's shown up on YouTube. They've worked with the Dig guys to get some articles mentioned about them. And so it's just kind of really creativity, some wonderful UIs that helps eBay content to get out to the edges of the internet. And, you know, obviously companies like YouTube and Dig are doing some pretty cool things out there. And the Empire team just continues to be very innovative and leaders in that respect.
If we'd had this conversation a year from now, assuming you even want to speak to me again, let's. What do you think the big things coming down the pipe? What are the best apps you've yet to see but would love to see?
Yeah, I think those are the ones that, frankly, the best ones are the ones that we don't know about, the ones that we couldn't have imagined. But if I just put my hat on, I'm looking forward to applications that will allow you, let's say, for example, I'm on SeanWise.com, and Sean is writing about, you know, whatever interests him, and an application will automatically look at the contents of that page, and this will be powered by eBay. It will show items that are available on eBay on Sean's site. I will click on a button saying add to my eBay cart, and those items will show up in my cart when I want to check out now or a week from now, and I never have to leave your site. Or maybe I can even bid on those items directly from SeanWise.com and never have to go back to eBay to actually go to the site to get all the information. So really enabling commerce at the edges, that's what I'm most excited about, and I think as someone like you who wants to keep users on your site, you'd be excited about it because it'll keep the eyeballs there. And guess what? You can make some money because we'll share the revenue for any successful transaction that you bring to eBay. So it's really a win-win for everyone involved.
It definitely is. And speaking of wins, let's talk about it from the developer's perspective one more time. Is it commonplace that a developer is so good that you want to acquire them, you want to deepen the relationship? Does that happen often? Is that something that you perceive happening more in the future?
It hasn't happened often. Again, I think any developer needs to just add tremendous value to eBay, and I think today a lot of them do. And it's just a question for us, is a company better off being part of the eBay family or not? And I think those are decisions we look at pretty regularly. And in some cases, it does make sense. I mean, PayPal was, for all intended purposes, a developer, and so obviously we acquired them because of the importance that they had to our business. And Fairmarket was another example of a developer that we acquired as well because they were doing some pretty innovative things. So any company needs to take a look at their ecosystem and needs to make decisions in terms of what to bring in-house or what to leave as, you know, as part of their ecosystem and allowing them to innovate on their own. And so you know, I will imagine we will continue to look at companies and then make decisions based on the economic situation in that particular time.
It's mostly outbound, not inbound. You don't want 1,000 emails saying, buy my developer company?
Well, I think it's both ways. I mean, we certainly don't want to be a walled garden where we don't want people to talk to us. I mean, I love talking to outsiders and having candid conversations where they say, you know, we think we can add value, and we have a conversation. At the end of the day, we agree that, you know, or agree to disagree that maybe there's the value evaluation isn't the same. So I think we, you know, certainly want to have inbound conversations as well as outbound. I mean, that's the way you have healthy debate. And, you know, obviously it depends on, again, the value that a company adds in terms of what the next steps will be.
Well, the next steps for us are to take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll ask Greg about how any advice he has to help you build out your development community, as well as we'll ask him the three questions we ask all of our Wise Words guests right after this.
IBC Network, the producers of the acclaimed Under the Radar Conference, are hosting the Momentum Growth Conference September 27th through 28th, 2006, at the Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California. Join tech heavyweights including Yahoo, Google, AOL, MSN, News Corp, Viacom, and many more. This year's conference will focus on the exploding digital convergence ecosystem, from content creation to distribution and everything in between. For more information, visit MomentumConf.com.
And we're back. We are talking with Mr. Greg Isaacs, director of the eBay Developers Program. Greg has been sharing with us how to build out a development community and the role that they play in the eBay ecosystem. Let's take a step back. Let's assume one day you decide you want to go out on your own, Greg. Never would happen, I know. But let's say you leave eBay and you want to join another young startup because you just had a momentary lapse of sanity. So you cash out your options, you go to work for them, and they say, Greg, we want you to create a developer's program for us. What sort of the first steps you would think about, and what sort of the first steps our listeners should think about?
Well, first I would step back and say, does it make sense? Rather than just walking in and saying, let's create a developer's program, we have to take a look at what the benefits will be and obviously what the costs will be. So, you know, that is needs to be a thoughtful exercise, but let's assume that, in fact, it is, and it makes sense, we should do this. The first thing I would focus on is what's the so what? Why are developers going to spend their time supporting your platform versus, you know, all the other ones out there? And for me, it just you need to have the hook, and a hook that lasts. And so it could be, again, the opportunity to make money, or it could be just such a great technology that developers need to have it. So I think you need to figure out, again, what it is that developers are going to care about. Once you've done that, you need to make it as easy as possible for them to code. And so that means, you know, great documentation, at least some level of support, whether it's support from the company or at least through a thriving ecosystem of developers who can help each other. And then you just need to be very aggressive in terms of getting the word out. So it's not a case of if you build it, they will come. You need to be aggressive working with the media, evangelizing with partners and some of the large ISVs out there to actually get them to promote you, and obviously there needs to be some benefit in it for them. And so starting up a developer community does take time. It's not going to happen overnight, but really at the beginning you just need to make sure and set expectations that it's going to have value to the company at the end of the day. And so that's certainly something that I would do, step number one.
I think setting expectations is a key point, Greg, and everyone expects there to have some flaws, some obstacles, some hurdles. What are sort of some of the biggest hurdles you'd like people to be aware of before they go and set out on this journey of building a community?
I think the biggest hurdle is that, number one, is awareness. Again, there's a lot of noise out there, so you're going to have to stand out above the crowd consistently. So you can't just, you know, get a couple people to blog about you, go to a couple shows, and think that's it. I mean, you need to stay top of mind as much as possible. And I think the second thing is really just making it, making sure that when you get feedback, because you'll get a lot of feedback if you've been successful with the first point, and trying to figure out, developers are going to give you 20, 30, 50 different things that they want you to build, figuring out which are the most appropriate things to build and what's going to have the most benefit to the developers and to the ultimate customer base. And prioritization for any company, even eBay as large as we are, to small companies, is important because you're going to have a lack of resources. And so trying to figure out what to do and what not to do is not an easy thing, but it's something that you need to have a little bit of process in place, because otherwise my feeling is you may spread yourself a little bit too thin. And so listening to your customers is critical, but you also need to figure out and be candid with them, make them part of the process that, you know, hey, guys, we're not going to be able to do this for 6 to 9 months, if at all. Just want to set expectations. And I think, you know, most rational people will appreciate that kind of candor.
And hopefully most of your developers are rational. What about setting up the structure, the terms? You mentioned earlier that when you turned off the price to access the API, you experienced a great bump because you were able to advise people to reinvest that. So obviously that's one technique. What about structure and terms? Other things people should keep in mind when trying to set up a developer community?
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to strike a healthy balance between having T's and C's that are very strict and that are very open. Because if they're very strict, you're going to invariably you're going to prohibit innovation. And, you know, developers, you know, for the most part, will read the actual T's and C's, and they may look at it and say, wow, these are very restrictive, I'm not going to invest my time, versus something where it's very open and that something may be created that you just think is to a detriment to your company. And so I think you need to find that balance. Obviously, my preference is on the side of being more open, because then you will have, hopefully, applications and businesses that you couldn't have expected that really move the needle. But having said that, you should have checks and balances in place, whether they're technical or business, to ensure that if something is not to the benefit of the company, that you can work very closely with the developer who created this application to make it a net win for everyone. So I think that dialogue is critical, and obviously having the T's and C's and being as open as possible in terms of and setting expectations is critical. And it's never going to be perfect at the beginning, and it'll never be perfect later on and down the road, but at least you'll be able to, again, hopefully minimize any unintended consequences.
Well, one consequence we have to deal with is sponsorship. When we come back, we'll ask Greg the three questions we ask all of our guests. You're listening to the Wise Words podcast, brought to you by the IBD Network. For the best of Silicon Valley, www.ibdnetwork.com.
Are you frustrated searching on the web and not being able to find what you're looking for? We've got your solution. Zigtag makes it easy to search, save, and share any information that's important to you, be it your latest recipes, information on your next big vacation, researching your competition or writing a business report, or even your school paper. Anything that's important to you, Zigtag makes it super easy to search, save, and share. For more information, visit www.zigtag.com.
And we're back talking to Greg as we move into the big finale. We're going to ask Greg the three questions we ask all of our guests. Greg, thanks so much for cutting out some time. I know that you're very busy with the eBay Developer Program, but we do appreciate you taking this opportunity to speak to our listeners.
No problem. Thanks for having me again.
My pleasure. Let's start with number one. What is the best advice you've ever received personally?
I think the best advice actually came from eBay's former chief operating officer, Maynard Webb, who's just a super guy. And he basically told me you know, fairly recently that, you know, you should never sell yourself short. And I think that made me think a lot about, you know, who I am, skill sets, what I'm good at, what things I need to improve on. And I think for anyone, it's important, whether it's an individual or a company, to figure out what your strengths are and what areas of improvement you need to focus on. And so I think that helped me just think about, you know, again, where my strengths are. And, you know, I think that's a very important thing to know, because what you don't want to do is that you never want to oversell yourself in the next steps of your career. And so I think being able to adequately or appropriately convey who you are, what you're good at, will serve wonders down the line, because I think everyone will understand, again, what asset they're getting. And so I think that was pretty simple but sound advice.
So don't sell yourself short and don't oversell yourself.
Yeah.
A two-part problem. Now, I'm sure this doesn't happen often, but once in a while we all make mistakes. What's the biggest mistake you've made, Greg, in your career, and what can we learn from it?
Well, yeah, I've made many mistakes, and I think not learning from your mistakes is one issue. I think I've done that hopefully pretty well. But I think for me it's staying in a job for the wrong reasons. And so whether it's for monetary reasons or for whatever reason it happens to be, I think it's always good for people to look back and say, you know, am I still motivated? Is this exciting for me? And if it's not, maybe it's better to go do something else where, again, you can make less money, but you can have a better work-life balance. And I think earlier in my career, I was less focused on, you know, does this get me excited, and more focused on, you know, perhaps a paycheck. And I think, you know, again, this is, again, pretty much when I graduated college. So I learned pretty quickly that there's other things that get me excited. Obviously, being in the technology business is one of them, and working with really smart people who care and are fun is another thing. And so, again, each person needs to think about what gets them excited and then make the decisions accordingly.
Well, I think that's important. Having fun is always something that's key to being successful. Let's finish up the podcast with, what do you wish others knew, or what's the best piece of advice you can give others at this time?
I think it's being flexible, not only in your personal choices, but in the professional choices you make if you're an executive or working at a company. And I think this is the same advice I gave at the IBD panel, is that, you know, you need to find that balance between focusing so hard on a business model or a way that you charge or what have you that, you know, sometimes it may be your detriment. So you need to be able to, you know, try other things, throw things at the wall, be flexible, but not be too flexible that you spread yourself thin. And there's no simple science to that, but I mean, think about some of the great companies that have been created. They, you know, had a model. It wasn't working or not as much traction as they wanted, so they tried something else. They didn't give up on the original model, and that second, third, or fifth model actually was the one that made them successful. And so I think, you know, young companies, again, need to find that balance between focusing so hard that they have the blinders on to the other side of the spectrum, where they're being so spread so thin they really aren't, you know, good at anything. And again, that's an executive team needs to make that choice and needs to figure out, you know, what's working and what's clicking by talking to their investors, talking to their customers, and just seeing what's going on in the industry in general.
Thanks very much, Greg. We have been talking to Greg Isaacs, Director, eBay Developers Program. At eBay, Greg is responsible for ensuring that all third-party developers have the business opportunities, the infrastructure, and the support that they need to drive innovation into eBay. Thanks very much, Greg. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Charles. Pleasure as always.
Well, this has been the Wise Words Podcast, brought to you by the IBD Network.
Take a trek home to the Rocky Mountains and discover what many in North America consider one of the most exciting forums of its kind. Come and meet the brightest minds and the best prospects for investment in the business of information and communications technology at the Banff Venture Forum 2006, September 21st and 22nd, 2006, at the Rimrock Resort Hotel in beautiful Banff, Alberta, Canada. For more information, visit BanffVentureForum.org. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Talking to you. Look at me. Canadian Tech Mob. That's what it's all about. You need to join. Hit the website. www.canadiantechmob.com. Show your support. Join the mob.
And that wraps up another interview and another podcast. You've been listening to the Wise Words Podcast, brought to you by the fine folks at IBD Network. For the best of Silicon Valley, go to www.ibdnetwork.com. Tune in next week for more best practices, insights, and interviews on entrepreneurship, finance, and technology. Till then, I'm your host, Sean Wise. You can reach me at www.seanwise.com. Thank you, and good venture.